Hello, this is Janet Gowan welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And as you know, love letters are for anybody at any time, for any reason you have something positive to say. Why not just write it and stamp it and mail it, stick it in the mail slot and make somebody else's life richer? It doesn't take that long, and it's so worth doing. Today's guest is Josh Wingate, who is an actor. And we have just met 4 minutes ago, and I don't know anything about Josh, so let's just dive right in. Well, talk about you.
Hi.
And start wherever you want, by the way.
Okay.
Great. If I say hold your horses, can we back up? That'll be okay, right?
I'm
good.
You have the reins, I'll be the horse.
Perfect.
You can
okay, we can switch. All right.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure meeting you. And like I said, well, I'm sorry, like Janet said, my name is Josh, and... here we are, it's September 11th, 2015.
And you said something even more important than the date before we started, which was in part of a different conversation, that one of the most important relationships you can have is with yourself.
Correct.
Talk about that.
Well, in my short 38 years on Earth, I'm finally growing up a little bit, I think.
From what to what? Let's now back up.
Okay.
What were your immaturities that...
Well...
that's what growing up means for all of us, right?
Sure. But I like immaturity. I think some immaturities keep us young, keep us fresh, keep us inquisitive, keep us learning.
Okay, so those aren't immaturities.
No, but childlike imagination.
That's right. Okay.
And childlike wonder.
Yes. I guess I'm looking at immaturities as behavior that's no longer appropriate for somebody of a certain age. Like, you have to learn how to use the toilet at some point, right?
Yes. There well, okay, so I would say maybe on subject with love is with the self-love, and I think, just in my opinion, there's programming of, just on magazines, you're going to look at programming that you're never enough, and television commercials that were never enough, and I think that programming slips in from parenting and from... school life and socialization.
Okay, start with you when you were a boy. What were your parents like with you?
My parents were separated, divorced at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised mostly by my mom, who stayed single the whole time. So I love my mother, and she just did the best she can, but she's just passing down her programming from when she was a child. So I think the As we put it, the immaturities I'm trying to let go of is actually not necessarily immaturities, but more or less deprogramming.
Mm-hmm.
Deprogramming thought patterns and belief systems that say you're not good enough, that say you don't deserve things, that say, well, life is hard and you just got to deal with it. To have that negative perception is almost...
Now, I'm just curious, because I know that sometimes reality and what we get are two different things, but I'm guessing you were an awfully cute-looking little boy. You're a very handsome man, and you're talented. What's the negative that you would be getting? We all get it, so I just wondered what yours...
Well, I think, for me, of course, abandonment has always been challenging with, not having my father around, who, side note, I have a wonderful relationship with my father now. We've developed a great friendship, and just recently had an amazing... breakthrough in our relationship.
Oh, how long did that take between?
Well, I guess 35 years.
Oh, okay. it's never too late.
Give or take. No, and it's been a process. It's been great, and I'm so grateful, but I really attribute it to my ability now to honor my feelings and honor who I am and what has happened to me in my life and not put it aside. I think there's a little bit of an East Coast, Northeast Coast thing with guys especially, like, you don't talk about anything. And with that Irish Catholic upbringing is, we'll just put that to the side. We won't talk about that. That's because that's too real. So having that programming and that, being a mama's boy as a kid, getting picked on, getting bullied for being a super sensitive kid, I learned.
Oh, you did get them that?
Oh, yeah.
And okay, so that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a challenge. And I think I learned, I was self-taught. You have to adapt to your surroundings. So you learn how to be tough. You learn how to not be sensitive, be a man. And
so I was going to ask you that a minute ago, because you were talking about the Irish Catholic upbringing and shoving it aside and not expressing yourself. I think that somehow along time came to be confused with being safe.
Mm-hmm.
That exact being tough.
Sure.
And there are ways that you do have to be tough in this world to protect yourself.
Yes.
And to protect those you love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. And I've been a martial artist for almost 2.5 decades.
Oh, is that right?
There is that. I think that's
But you should be able to do that and express yourself.
Precisely. And I think what I failed at in my martial arts, I became a master, essentially, 2.5 decades. I hope I can do something somewhat efficiently and somewhat masterful with my body as a martial artist. But I think where I missed the bar was being a martial artist of the mind, being a martial artist of the psyche and of navigating what is the
When
best
did you
way.
Realize that? Can you say?
I would say within this past year.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, within this past year, and it doesn't. And so I feel like I'm a white belt of the one of the mind per se, and maybe a yellow belt now. Maybe I've upgraded a little bit because with the self awareness and the courage to be honest with who oneself is, and with I can only speak myself really. But I feel like I took a courageous step in being honest with who I really was and
yes.
what I really want.
Okay, may I ask what that is? Like, what are the things that you recognize now as who you really are?
Well, it's funny. It's the person I always tried not being.
Oh.
The sensitive, loving, caring, and peaceful. I really, you know, I have a tough exterior. If your viewers see a picture of me, you're going to see a guy who shaved head, maybe some facial hair, tall. I play intense roles in acting. I play all these bad guy heavies and... The truth is, I'm just a lover boy.
yeah, that's what you look like to me. But yeah. I'm sitting here with you, and I never met you before.
Right. So I think that person I always I fought against being because I thought that wasn't safe in this world. That being an emotional being and being sensitive wasn't safe in this world. So that's who I think I always fought against being.
But you're not alone in feeling that.
No, I don't think I am either.
I wonder what makes it feel unsafe. Oh, that if you open up some emotional part, somebody can get in there and
maybe
rip you to shreds?
Maybe. And I think as a child, we're learning what life is. So at a young age, we don't have the maturity or the logistical mindset to kind of step back and analyze a situation for what it is. So we learn how to live from there. And I think the challenges and the problem is we take those things we learned at 3, 4, 5, 6 years old and we're now committed to the rest of our life. Well, it almost seems silly in a way to say, okay, well, I learned that then, so that's how life is. But it isn't silly because we didn't know any better at the time. So I think that's why.
And there are concepts whose part in your story is now over.
I mean,
you rely on something else. You don't need that. So what is it you rely on now that you don't need the...
Well, I don't know if I think they exist for a reason. They were there for survival and for, you know, whether it was emotional or whether it was navigating and socializing. Whatever it was, they existed for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think it's just adding in a new step. Like I like to refer... compare it to the martial arts where... You learn different steps, you learn different techniques. And now I feel like I'm taking a little new technique and questioning.
Oh, so you can feel that.
Yeah,
part of it.
There's a shift and it's like, wait a second, okay. A bad metaphor, maybe you gave me a look. Janet doesn't like me. She doesn't love me.
That's
you know
what I wanted to get to, yes.
So the new step is, wait a second, is what you're feeling and what you're thinking is
really this, about you?
Or is it real? Is it based on the reality of the situation? Or is this an old trigger? Or is this
For you.
Is this something that is, questioning, does this person really like me? What kind of person can I be to make her like me? I can stop back and go, wait a second, that's not really happening. That's not what's happening in the moment.
So you reach a point where you could say to yourself, oh, hold on, this isn't about me.
Right. Or, I guess it's all about ourselves. And we only see through our eyes.
But you give somebody else a chance to inform the reality.
Sure.
Like, are you okay? Well, I've just had a stroke. That's why I'm giving you that horrible look. It's not because I don't like you.
Yeah.
And you get a whole new relationship.
Sure. Yes. But I think to master it even more is to for me, it's not a... it may sound self-centered, but I'm an actor, so of course. But know thyself. And if I can step back and say, well, it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing, what am I reacting to, and what is that based off of? And if I can, most of the time, and you can do it with anything. You can do it with good feelings. You can do it with negative feelings. You can do it with anxiety, whatever it is.
So you're talking about being self-aware in an intelligent way.
Sure.
Basically.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like...
Seems like it.
Yeah, and I feel like that is, that I've always been attracted to self-awareness, self, you know, realization. I feel like so maybe the groundwork I did for years before when I moved out here is starting to actually click in.
Good.
And I feel like now in my place I'm in my life, and you know, it's sometimes the light comes from great struggle, or like the, you know, the Leonard Cohen says, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in.
Yes.
So sometimes, you know, going through struggle shows us how bright the world can be. Because if we don't know what struggle is, we don't know what greatness is. Or
back up for a little, because mm-hmm. I want to talk, because I can see a connection between acting and all that you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm guessing. I mean, I'm not even guessing. I'm asking. If you audition for a role and you're bringing in this guy,
mm-hmm.
will that not possibly stand in your way because you're not letting in what you need to understand that role?
Can you define what you mean, this guy, the person?
You were talking about the tough guy.
Oh,
the guy,
sure.
Yeah.
No, I mean, or that could help you get the role. Who knows?
But in terms of interpreting a script.
Sure.
Properly, yeah. Maybe it doesn't matter. Okay.
Well, this is related a lot to acting and my progress and process now, actually, as an actor, where before I definitely, and I'm still working on this, but I would bring a lot of my self doubts into the process and try to create something that I thought would be interesting to other people, not necessarily, I've pretty much been a character actor except for a couple little roles where it's pretty much close to myself. But now my process is to stop performing. No more performing, and just bring truth. And who can be more interesting than the individual?
There's well, nothing, that's what I was asking right? about, its impact on your playing a role.
Yes.
Okay, so go back to, how old were you when you knew you wanted to act and could act and were good at it?
15 years old.
What happened?
I was, the great Frank Moffitt, he's my theater mentor. I love this man. He started a program at my high school called the Renaissance Program.
Where did you go to high school?
North Quincy High School, Massachusetts.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And it was called the Renaissance Program.
Mm-hmm.
I say was because it got canceled, sadly. That's one of my life goals, to get that back up and running. So if you're listening, I am coming to help.
Good.
But it was an arts program. For the last two classes of the day, you would study your major on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then you could pick two different minors for a semester, and you'd learn about another art form. I was always a visual artist. I like to draw and sculpt and do all that. And the first year or first semester, I took a theater minor and was blown away, just blown away.
Okay, what did that to you?
I think, I probably know that the given a space to freely emote, not be judged at who you were, but the presentation or the character is now under judgment, or your portrayal of this character.
Oh, so it was a safe place.
It was a very safe place, and it was very lethargic for me. I was able to get out and just blah, and almost vomit on the stage and just feel and live. And, you know, with some technique and grounding and with Frank, he really pushed me to break out of my safety zone and let out the emotions. He actually gave me this great Al Pacino monologue, which was littered with vulgarity and swears. I'm like, we can do that? It's high school. We can't swear. So he gave me that permission. I don't know if... I think he knows how much impact he's had on me.
Ooh, I see a love letter coming, but go ahead.
Yeah, there we go. And
so what happened after that? I mean, that was your first hello, and then where did that take you after?
I decided to change my major from visual art into theater. And so I spent my last year in high school, because we started that in my junior year of high school. So I started that in my senior year, I did that. I auditioned for every play I could. I did some plays. And just was absorbed in it. Loved it. I was pretty much a walking contradiction because I was a varsity ice hockey player. Uh-huh. And I was in theater, which, you know, jock and theater nerd. Right, right, that just kind of doesn't mesh. So.
But on the other hand, anything can mesh that you want to mesh.
Sure. I'm just saying where I grew up. I would get, you know, people.
From both sides?
More so from the athletic side. Yeah. More so I'd get crap from those guys. But that's part of being in a team is... And that in the Northeast, love is expressed through sarcasm and through criticism. Yeah. Yeah. It's not usually, oh, good job. It's like, it's really rubbing and picking on each other. Yeah.
But you knew you were good, or apparently you were good.
And I got reactions from it. I got positive reactions, and I knew that I wanted to pursue it. And, you know, my life took different little turns after that, and it took me a long time to come out to Los Angeles to actually
perform. So how did that happen? I'm getting old.
I was, I went to college for a very short time, and I wasn't going to a college I wanted to go to. I wasn't in the theater program. So I just was unhappy. I wasn't doing what I knew I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Here I am several years, decades later, doing what I want to do. So I knew then. But I don't know if it was lack of courage or lack of, you know, or just blaming the rest of the world and my circumstances. So I left school, but I was still doing little films and projects and plays as well.
This was in Los Angeles?
No, this was in Massachusetts. Still Massachusetts. This is Massachusetts.
Okay. So when did you make that cut to come here?
Well,
about?
I think 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is my 13th. 2001 was 9/11, right? Of the anniversary. I think a year after that.
And did you get work right away here? How did you go about that?
It took me a few years to, I would do little projects, short films, and...
I mean, did you sign up with an agent? Did you look for an agent right away, or...?
Yes, I actually found Dee Wallace. Do you know Dee? Dee is friends with David, I believe, mm-hmm. David Zimmerman, and she's, talk about self-love, she's amazing.
Oh, good. I mean, I know the name, but I have not met her.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she's great, and... I thought I was getting into an acting class, but I think it was more of a life class.
Good.
You know, a little new agey in some aspects, but great. And I got my first representation through a showcase with her.
Now, when you said you were doing roles that were character actors, I'd love to talk about that because I think those people are so important and memorable. What does that mean to you, a character actor?
Well, I guess the way it's defined industry-wise is probably not the lead.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I look at actors, and Jane Russell's definitely a character actor.
Mm-hmm.
Most are.
Yeah. I mean, I love the lead character actors. I love Christian Bale and Daniel Day-Lewis. I love those guys. But
you're saying character actor is that you play a role that's... fits who you really are, but I don't think that's what it means in the...
No, that's not necessarily what I'm saying. I think character... Well, for me, I define character actor is... Well, I mean, I guess every role is a character,
that's
right? Every role
that's
is a character.
That's why I'm always confused. Yeah,
I guess I'm using a term that's used by everybody else.
It is used by everybody.
That is... But for me, I mean, every role I take on, I make characteristic choices, but...
Yeah.
As of late, I'm trying to strip those away.
So what do you want to do best? What speaks to you about, what role would you like best? And what are you doing now? Let's just hear about that.
Right now, I just finished a series called Her Story, which is very exciting. And it's very on point right now. The timing couldn't be more perfect. It is written...
Yeah, that's a television?
It will be a short form, I think, 10-minute episodes right now. It's getting a lot of good buzz. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. It's written, starring, directed by transgender women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the lesbian and transgender dating world.
Ah.
Very, very eye-opening to me. I do kind of play a hard aspect of that world. And I was grateful to play it, grateful to be involved with it, and I really think my experience on this made me a better human.
Nice.
I feel...
In other words, you learned something.
Oh, yeah. Learned a lot and really connected with these people. And I found a much more compassion and empathy and an understanding, just an understanding. And, how transgender people have been portrayed up until recently, mm-hmm. Has always, even in film and television, are always in a negative or a very... Not necessarily, but a very character-y kind of really strange
yes,
world. But
yes.
these are people. They're humans.
Right.
And beautiful humans.
Right.
And the courage that these women are sharing and putting them to their mm-hmm. art is amazing. So to be part of it, I'm so grateful. And
when can we see this?
I think this fall.
Okay.
I don't know about when. I know they're doing a little fundraising campaign on, I think, Indiegogo or one of those. And it seems like it's doing really well. And... Our lead, she's friends with Caitlyn Jenner, and it's just very appropriate timing. And
yes.
they wrote everything, and they started production before the awareness of everything started coming out. So it's perfect, and so I'm really excited about that.
So what is it you want to do next?
Oh gosh,
like what's your dream role?
Hmm.
Or if you don't have one, I mean, you're just open to what comes and.
Well,
moment by moment.
Business-wise and life-wise, I would love a series regular role.
Sure.
Just that. But I would like, the shows that I'm attracted to right now are, there's a show on Netflix called Bloodline,
mm-hmm.
Sissy Spacek, Sam Shepard. There's an actor on there, Ben Mendelsohn, who is blowing me away. He's just amazing with how free he is.
Mm-hmm.
And... love to play that type of character, that type of role. Just so much honesty and truth.
Yeah.
And I really think a lot has changed in the last few months for me just with my perception on everything. But I really want something that I can just be real in and try and share.
Just like regular life.
Yeah, just share right. humanity and
yes.
and help heal people by going through these truthful moments, and if you do it truthfully, that's probably another reason why I love art and music. And when you feel somebody and they're talking about their lives and it's real, whether it's melancholy, whether it's love, whether it's hate, whether it's anger, it's a relationship you can create with the audience or with somebody else. And by doing that, you can help somebody not feel so alone. You can help somebody go through the process. I've cried watching movies.
Oh, yes.
That's a healing.
You know, I think you're touching on something that is kind of close to my head and heart all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When people complain about how, actors, people they earn so much money and what they're doing is all that you just said. Without our storytellers, society goes mad, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
There's nowhere to go and no one to really, the example and the freeing that you do.
Well,
from theater and from a movie screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's huge.
Mm-hmm. In the Native American culture, storytelling is
how
we learned our lessons.
That's
the teaching.
Yes,
and
a lot of African cultures. And
that was
it before print.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Storytelling, exactly.
It's important.
It's
super important.
Yes.
And you can take the storytelling and you can go, what story do I tell myself every single day? And that's another thing, because we tell ourselves stories that aren't necessarily serving us.
Right.
We tell ourselves to fear other people. We tell ourselves to fear our fellow man, without getting too socioeconomic and too touching too much on the race issues that are going on. But this is all programmed to fear each other. I mean, when the most courageous thing I think anybody can do is stop fearing the other person and look at them. And just give them the same love that you would give anybody else. And
and of course, the trick for a lot of people is to get a hold of that and be able to see it and name it and grab it.
Becoming aware of it, just becoming aware that we've been programmed to fear each other by whatever. I'm not going to get too conspiracy theory, but just the fact that just become aware
Okay, well, I won't do it either. yes, because there's a lot of money in fear.
Oh, of course.
And hatred.
Of course.
So
every television commercial touches on the fact that you're missing something from your life.
Oh, that's a whole other thing. Yeah. Yes, those cosmetic commercials. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to look like all of them. And why don't I? And I'm going to go out and I buy those products.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking something else, that as long as you're terrified,
mm-hmm.
you're going to stay tuned to the news.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think things are okay out there, you're going to turn off the TV and go outside and take part. And then the sponsors are just up a creek.
Yeah. I stopped reading and watching the news in my young 20s.
Oh, good for you. I'm going to stop any time now because I'm a raving maniac 4 minutes after I look at the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
I know. But we weren't going to do conspiracy theory, so I'm going to take us off.
I don't know
that.
If that's conspiracy. I just think it's...
truth. Yeah, me too.
I'm just being honest with how I feel, and I don't want to feel terrible after reading something.
Yes.
And be angry at the world. I don't want to feel that way.
Good for you. So let's translate it to love letters.
Okay.
Because that's just everybody wins.
Mm-hmm.
So right now you're going to write a love letter. Who's it going to go to?
Well, I think in this conversation we discovered somebody else. Originally,
yes, we did.
Originally, I was going to write a love letter to my young child self.
You should, because by the way, let me just say, mm-hmm. world, it's not a one-shot deal.
No.
Love letters is kind of a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely both, but go ahead.
Well,
are you going to say to yourself? I hope you go home and do it on stationery in your handwriting, stamp it and mail it and address it to yourself.
That's a great idea.
And you will see that the person who wrote it and the person who's reading it are two different people.
I think that's fantastic.
Will you do that?
I will do that.
Okay, so
I'm excited to do that.
Good.
Yeah. That's great.
And it doesn't matter how long, you know how long you can sit and read, so.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it could be as short or as long as the truth is there. There's no parameters, right? There's no rules.
Well, there's no rules in this because sometimes, actually, if you're writing to somebody else, you might want to consider how long will they sit still and be able to take in an emotional outpouring. Maybe I need to do three separate ones.
Sure.
Instead of, okay, so who's the other one?
Well, discovered in this conversation, I think Mr. Frank Moffitt deserves, you know, I've told him over the years, but I think it would probably mean the world to him if he got a letter.
Yes.
Handwritten letter from my appreciation and gratitude for what he gave me or helped me realize in myself, whatever
Well, you
it is.
Said before, you can listen to this later, because you said it, he just grabbed me out of,
Mm-hmm.
All that.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it'll mean the world to him. And you know, you can't reread a phone call.
No.
And this technology changes abruptly every very short period of time. So whatever you've got on this, you won't be able to access it.
No. And how many thousands of emails, hundreds of emails, spam, blah, 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 you get lost in the shuffle.
How many of those VCRs have you had to throw away because they've corroded?
Sure.
Or your player doesn't work anymore and you cannot buy a new one. They don't make them.
No.
But this storage information system,
that
does he have children?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So his grandchildren might find this letter from you to him.
Sure.
In years to come and really know something significant, not just about him, but about this actor.
Sure. And how he affected
Josh Wingate.
People. But
yes.
Because you can know a lot about somebody, but once you start realizing how they affected other people, that could be really inspirational or it can be eye-opening and view somebody in a different way.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's your mother and your father. And yes.
Oh, yeah.
But what were we going to say? View someone in a different way.
Say again?
You said, and you can view someone in a different way.
Yes.
Once you start doing this, because you're bathing in the positive.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what?
Attitude of gratitude, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. And I have found, and from talking to other people, when you're sitting and doing this, even love letters to people who have not been great to you, by the way, people who have been abusive, not nice, you can and have just a glimmer of something in there. You can write a gorgeous love letter to somebody where you have to sift through the garbage to get the four gold nuggets, and there is something really gorgeous. And people who have been, by the way, people who have been not so nice to you, when you do that, you're letting them off the hook.
Which actually lets
there you
go. Off the hook.
Yes, the Josh Wingate show. Here we go. And in doing that, you know, you're stuck on any hook you keep someone else on.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. Thank you for saying that.
No, well, resentment breeds anger, and then who's responsible for that? Nobody else is. We are. We're responsible for our own resentment and what we do with it. And we can choose to hold on to that for the rest of our lives, for a minute, for a day, and I think it is a choice. And I'm sure it's a process, and it's going to be a different process for everybody, but I really like that. You know, I've heard that before, write a letter and or pray for somebody that hurt you, or you know, give good, positive energy to that person, and by doing that, you're actually releasing.
But, well, that's true, mm-hmm. And writing a letter, you know, that letter written by you and signed and dated, mm-hmm. that really has the force of a contract.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little extra.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to end it and thank you, because what you just said now is such a nice note. And that's what people should leave with.
I'm having such a good time. We could go for hours, but sometimes.
Well, will you come back another time and talk about something else?
I would happily.
Perfect.
This has been great.
I think so too. Okay, thank you, dear, for doing this. And until next time, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye. And please remember that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion. And if you look at your own self, as Josh has been doing, you'll see that there are all kinds of moments of gratitude that a letter would just be perfect to express. Okay, bye-bye.